From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the Lord Jesus Christ gave His disciples a pattern for prayer, the beloved words we call the Lord's Prayer. The initial phrase, Our Father, which art in heaven, is a reminder of God's dwelling place. Also, it reminds us of the nature of the one to whom we pray. He is the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God. Yet He condescends to hear the prayers of His children. Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message in a few minutes. First, he calls our attention to something that God has placed within every man, the conscience.
Of all the conflicts a man has, perhaps the most grueling is the conflict with himself. Of all his battles, the most bitter is the battle with his own conscience. When you stop to think of it, conscience is a wonderful thing. I'm not today going to get into a theological discussion of conscience. That's a very interesting part of theological study, but it's not my purpose today. The reality of conscience is what I want to stress today, is none of us can get away from it. It's a wonderful thing. There is that within us which is either chiding us, accusing us, warning us, and sometimes even commending us. I wonder today, as you live your life, what is your conscience saying? Now, don't misunderstand me. Conscience can be wrong. It can be wrongly informed by your mind, what you think you know, what you accept as truth. Very often that is going to give imbalance and a wrong decision to the conscience. But nonetheless, as Martin Luther said a long time ago, it is dangerous to act against your conscience. So, what is your conscience saying? A conscience that's properly instructed by the Word of God is really the heart responding to the law of God written upon it by its very creation. So, when that conscience, that response to the law of God written in the heart, begins to accuse you, begins to chide you, begins to warn you, to remind you that you are God's creature, that you are accountable, that though you have done things and, quote, got away with them, and nobody knows a thing about it, and you've been able to cheat the odds and all that sort of nonsense, though those things may have entered into your mind, this nagging thought continues. Conscience reminds you, your sin is real. God is real. God's law is real. And be not deceived, for God is not mocked. The ultimate message of conscience is, of course, that one day, every one of us must give account of himself to God. Now, I have a question for you. If your conscience condemns you, what will you do when you meet a thrice holy God? If you cannot really settle the battle with your own conscience, how on earth are you going to face a thrice holy God? Actually, that's a very biblical question. The Apostle John spoke of our conscience condemning us, and yet the Lord is greater than our conscience. Now, that can be a terrible message for Christ's rejectors, but it's a glorious message for those who are Christ receivers. Because, you see, in Christ, we have a complete obedience to the law. In Christ, we have a complete acceptance with God. And when you have come to Christ and received him as your personal Savior, Redeemer and Lord, and have passed from death unto life, you've had a complete forgiveness of all sin. God has put it under the blood, and he said, I will not remember it against you anymore forever. Now, some memories from the past may rise up within your heart, and there are times when you may feel within you something reminding you and even condemning you. That's when you can go to the gospel. That's when you can appeal to what the Lord has said. God is greater than our conscience, and the voice of gospel grace will overcome every voice of condemnation, for there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You have a conscience. Your conscience warns you. You are accountable to God. There's only one way for a sinner to be able to stand before God, and that is to stand in the righteous merits of Christ. There's only one way to receive those righteous merits of Christ, and that is confessing and repenting, to turn to God through Jesus Christ and receive him as he is freely offered to you in the gospel.
Beneath the cross of Jesus,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We'd like to encourage you to take advantage of some of the free literature we offer on the program. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The theme of the current issue is the subject of temptation. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church discuss such issues as how to recognize the temptation to sin, the temptation of Christ, and overcoming temptation. Among other articles of interest in this issue, you'll find a focus on the land of Macedonia, as well as the inspiring testimony of a young man born with cerebral palsy who is a glowing witness for Christ. A copy is available simply for the asking, and we promise that there will be no follow-up letters soliciting funds. For your free copy, just write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you soon.
Where is your soul in your body? Is it in your head? No, no more than in your feet. Is it in your hand? No, no more than in your stomach. But yet if you cut your finger off, you don't cut off part of your soul. The soul fills your body. Repletively. But yet, it is not divided through the body. Can we understand that? I don't think so. But we immediately recognize it to be true. Now, do not for a minute believe that I'm saying that God is the soul of the universe. He is not. But I think there was a great deal of truth in the idea of an old English preacher called Samuel Clark said a lot of other things that weren't particularly accurate when he said we must think of infinite space as an attribute of God, and it only exists because God exists. God, therefore, is omnipresent. But his creatures aren't omnipresent. Even the angels aren't omnipresent. An angel can only be in one place at one time, just the same as you and I can only be in one place at one time. An angel is a finite creature, just the same as we are. So though God is omnipresent, the angels can't be omnipresent. And so in relation to his creatures, God has chosen what the Bible calls the third heaven, or the heaven of heavens, as the place of the fullest manifestation of his power and glory. So when Jesus says, "Our Father which art in heaven," he's speaking of God being pleased to reveal more fully than any other place his personal qualities, his mighty power, his transcendent glory. Heaven tells you where God is. But heaven also tells you what God is. It's a word that describes God's character. That's why Jesus calls him your heavenly Father. Now, what does that mean? Well, obviously the very first meaning must be that he is our Father in a way completely different from any earthly use of the term. Now that is important to grasp. You see, we must never judge God by any earthly experience of fatherhood. The best of fathers here on earth are weak and flawed, and some of them are downright wicked. Many a time when a preacher preaches about God our Father, intending to convey the message of Scripture, which is a message of comfort, a message of grace, a message of power, a person will be sitting there who has been abused viciously by some earthly father. When you go and preach the fatherhood of God to a family of young women, every one of whom has been violated by a monster of a father, there's no immediate response in the heart that says, "My, this is good news. I have another father." The last thing in the world they want to hear is anything about a father, because all they have known under that title is a monster. But the trouble, you see, there is that they are taking the earthly and using it to judge the heavenly. God is saying, "I am your heavenly Father. Take away all your ideas of earthly fatherhood with its weakness and its wickedness. Take away all those things. And understand that those are but perversions of a glorious spiritual revelation concerning the relationship in which God stands with his redeemed. The relationship of peculiar intimacy. A closeness that even archangels have never experienced." Get that in your mind. And understand that that is a relationship in which God shows himself all perfect and all powerful. And that's the idea of your Father in heaven. He's all perfect. The psalmist says in Psalm 97 verse 2, "Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of thy throne." Verse 6, "The heavens declare his righteousness." When you read, "Our Father which art in heaven," the heaven is saying, he is our Father in righteousness. Jehoshaphat prayed to God in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 6, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none can withstand thee? What is Jehoshaphat saying as he prays? He's praying to the one who is in heaven, and the in heaven tells him he is not only all perfect, but he is all powerful. Now I bring those together in the words of Christ when he says, pray, our Father which art in heaven. And you can add one other glorious truth to it. He is not only all righteous, all perfect, all powerful. He is not only in heaven where among the angels of glory he makes the fullest demonstration of his glorious perfections, but he is always accessible to us on earth. And that, you know, is the very heart of the gospel revelation. That's what it's all about. We must never lose that. I will no doubt have cause to come back to this again and again. This is the very heart of what God has to say. Religion tends to swing like a pendulum between two great extremes. There are religions that try to express the utter otherness or transcendence of God. There are others that become so pantheistic that they identify God with the creature. God is everything and everything is God. And of course, they're both wrong. The gospel revelation points you to a God who is in heaven. And I want you to know that all the attempts of men to bring God down to earth and to human standards and human levels are abominable and sinful and must fail. Do you realize that every, underline this, modern theological perversion, modernism, liberalism, the social gospel, neo-orthodoxy, demythologizing. If you don't know what that term means, just say hallelujah, because it's a load of rubbish anyway. Paradox theology. I could go down the list. I said enough to show you there are a lot of perversions that have got into the modern church. Every one of them starts from this. Every one of them starts from this. We as modern men want to be autonomous, and we cannot stand the thought of the transcendence of God. You can never get away from that. Men either worship God or they worship themselves. Idolatry is the worship of self. Modernism, liberalism, every other ism that moves away from the worship of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, revealed in Scripture. Ultimately, as a great German philosopher, my German is non-existent, so my pronunciation of his name would not be particularly good. I'd need to get Dr. Gingery up to give the guttural representation of Feuerbach. But this man put his finger on it. He said, all these people are only worshipping an extension of themselves. This morning, you're either worshipping God or you're worshipping yourself. Is there any greater idolatry than making yourself your own little God? Is there any surer way to a lost eternity than to worship yourself? But the only alternative is the God as he's revealed in the Bible. But how can man approach this almighty God? How can we ever get there? Can we bring him down to earth? Moses says, no, you can't. Paul says, no, you can't. Jesus proves, no, you can't. So how can we ever reach up to God? That's the story of religion. Religion is trying to reach up to God. Revelation is telling you how God reaches down to man. And there's the difference.
This is the beauty and the glory of the gospel. God is great, but He is accessible. How is He accessible? Jesus says He's accessible when you can honestly confess He is your Father.
Now, I can't take time this morning to go over the ground that I've covered before, but this is important enough for me to make it very clear to you. The only people who can really, in the full sense of this term, call God their Father are people who, as sinners, have come by faith in God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive Him as their personal Savior, to enter into salvation by receiving Christ. Those people then, in union with Him who is properly the Son of God, can call God our Father.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.